Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up for the Rio Olympics in Brazil. Remember, VOA Olympic fans, the opening ceremony for the multi-sports jamboree will be August 5th at the Maracanã Stadium in Rio de Janeiro. Joining us now from Rio with an update on the city's Olympic preparations is our friend Luis Piazzet. Sporty Olympic greetings, Luis.
Sport Olympic greetings, Sonny. The qualifying race is en route to end, and soon all the athletes will be set for all the categories to compete in the Olympic Games in Rio. Until then, test events have been done in the city more or less in mute, with no fuss and media highlights, such as the marathon that took place last Sunday. 42 kilometers were covered by 16 Olympic athletes in 2 hours and 31 minutes, below the Olympic standard. The Brazilian Márcio Barreto da Silva was the winner. The day before was the opening of the Rio Boat Show to reinaugurate the Marina da Glória, house of the sailing competitions, with fresh signs of ongoing constructions for the Olympics. And under a noise protest by defenders that the actual ICE has breached several environmental and city rules. During the ceremony, we heard the mayor's speech despising a commission of assemblymen effort to investigate corruption related to the Olympic contractors and city officials. Now, talking about soccer, FIFA has announced the details of the group seedings for the Olympic football tournaments. The draw will take place next Thursday, the 14th. 16-man teams include 3 African squads, Nigeria, Algeria, and South Africa. For the draw, the teams have been divided into 4 pots based on a ranking according to previous Olympic performances, with an unlikely sight of the world champion Germany in the lowest ranked pot because it is out of Olympics since Seoul 1988. The 12 women teams features Brazil, Germany and USA queens in the same pot for the draw, and 2 African female teams representing the continent, South Africa and Zimbabwe. Brazilian coach Dunga deals with a tough situation to prepare the Brazilian team for the Copa America in U.S., matches in New Jersey, Orlando, Pasadena, Santa Clara and Seattle in June, and the Olympics in Rio next August. Brazil is in the lowest FIFA rank ever, 7th. And speculators say Dunga may not make it to the Olympics as a coach if he does not win Copa America. He needs all his weapons. But Barcelona won free Neymar to play both competitions, at least for free. He costs 150,000 euros per week. Last Friday, the Spanish team sent a letter to Brazil, releasing Neymar for only one competition. In the worst scenario, Dunga preferred Neymar for the Olympics. But, believe it or not, FIFA does not consider Olympics as an official competition, and according to its draconian rules, a league team must release a player for a national squad competing a FIFA tournament, such as Copa America. Neymar has said he would pick the Olympics in case he needs to choose between Rio and the U.S. The CBF declared that they had not given up hope that Neymar could play Copa America and the Olympics. I am Luis Piazzet for the sunny side of sports.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
I'm Manny Pacquiao, the fighter from the Philippines. When I start boxing, I'm inspired to fight because of my family. We're very poor. When I'm in training for the big fight, I train hard. Get up in the morning, 6 o'clock, jogging, 1 hour. After that, rest. I go to the gym, we do training. Sometimes I want more. I train hard. I used to train in karate. Right now, I'm inspired to fight for the honor of my country.
Filipino boxing star Manny Pacquiao was described as a legend and an exciting fighter by Namdi Moweta during Monday's Sunny Side of Sports show. Namdi was commenting on the Pac-Man's unanimous decision victory over American Timothy Bradley over the weekend in Las Vegas, Nevada. Before the bout, Namdi was predicting an upset victory by Bradley, but the Hollywood man gave Pacquiao his props for his win. Pacquiao dominated, knocking Bradley down twice. All three ringside judges had the Pac-Man well in front, 116 to 110, 116 to 110, and 116 to 110. The bout took place at the MGM Grand Arena in Las Vegas. Next month, one of the new boxing venues in Vegas, the T-Mobile Arena, which officially opened last week, will stage another marquee matchup. Mexican boxing star Saul Canelo Alvarez will defend his WBC middleweight title against Britain's Amir Khan. I asked Namdi Moweta, do you see Manny Pacquiao fighting the winner of Canelo Khan?
Oh, yes. There's a talk now of Canelo fighting Manny Pacquiao. If Canelo is able to destroy Amir Khan, and which is possible. Amir Khan now has put on so much weight, and from what we've been hearing, he may not be able to run away from Canelo. And if Canelo can corner him, cut off the ring, and knock him out, then we'll be talking about Canelo and Manny Pacquiao for the fall 2016. That's a huge fight, Sonny.
Namdi, Canelo seems so much bigger than Pac-Man, though.
Well, but Pac-Man will have to step up a little bit, and they'll do it at the catchweight. At the catchweight, that would be 155 pounds. Mind you, it's a middleweight fight that's supposed to be at 160. So the catchweight, Canelo will be 55, and Manny will come to like 150. And Manny will still be fast and strong, you know. And now we'll have to look at what will happen between Amir Khan and Canelo. If Amir Khan makes Canelo look stupid and Canelo is unable to figure out and read Amir Khan, then the fight with Manny Pacquiao and Canelo will be a good fight for fall 2016.
Finally, Namdi, let's bring it back to Anthony Joshua. You talked about some of those possible future venues for his fights. Would he ever maybe go to Lagos or Abuja and stage a championship fight?
Don't count out Nigeria, Sonny. No, our oil money is not bubbling like it used to. Our oil money will come back and bubble. And in the future, we can stage that fight at Abuja Stadium. You know? I'm talking as a Nigerian here, Sonny. It can happen.
I love it. All right, Namdi. Last week, I reported how Kenya was one of five countries described by the International Association of Athletics Federations, or IAAF, as being in critical care over its drug testing system. The four others are Ethiopia, Morocco, Ukraine, and Belarus. Kenya has missed two deadlines set by the World Anti-Doping Agency, WADA, and has until next month to fix its drug testing system. If it doesn't, Kenyan athletes could be banned from the Rio Olympics in August. But Kenya's president says that won't happen, as we hear now from reporter Mark Ouma.
Kenya will pass their anti-doping bill ahead of the deadline of the 2nd of May set by the World Anti-Doping Agency, WADA, the Kenyan head of state Uhuru Kenyatta told the Nairobi media on Monday. The bill has been approved by the National Cabinet. According to the Kenyan constitution, it has to be passed by the National Assembly. Uhuru told the media he is following up the matter with Parliament and looks forward to signing the bill into law before the WADA deadline. Uhuru told the Nairobi media that there are people looking for excuses to ensure Kenya misses the Rio de Janeiro Olympics. Uhuru assures they will not give them that excuse. IAAF President Sebastian Coe has threatened to have Kenya banned from the Olympics if the anti-doping law is not signed in time. Elsewhere, Kenyan marathon debutant Amos Kipruto triumphed in 2 hours, 8 minutes and 12 seconds at the Rome Marathon in the Italian capital on Sunday. Ethiopian Bihanu Adisisi and Kenyan Dominic Ruto were second and third. Ethiopian Rama Tusa carried the day in the women's race in a personal best of 2 hours, 28 minutes and 49 seconds. Ethiopian Mulu Duru was second ahead of Algerian Kenza Dahamani, who was placed third. In Austria, Shuko Gemeno clocked 2 hours, 24 minutes and 31 seconds to lead debutant Ruto Aga in a 1-2 Ethiopian triumph in the women's race at the Vienna Marathon on Sunday. Kenyan Doris Chengewa was third. Kenyans dominated the men's race with Robert Chemosin prevailing in 2 hours, 9 minutes and 49 seconds.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Our VOA Olympic fans will remember Paul Tergat won 2 silver medals for Kenya at 10,000 meters at the 1996 Games in Atlanta and the 2000 Olympics in Sydney. In both Olympic finals, Paul lost the gold to Ethiopian rival Haile Gebrselassie. Well, South African golf star Gary Player might be 80 years old, but he recently showed he still has plenty of game here in the United States. Player knocked in a hole-in-one during a warm-up event for the Masters Golf Tournament in Augusta, Georgia. Player is a 3-time Masters champion, and incredibly, this was the 31st, count them, 31st hole-in-one of his great career. In November, Gary will host the Nedbank Golf Challenge in Sun City, South Africa. The competition will take place at the Gary Player Golf and Country Club, and Gary himself designed the course 35 years ago. In an interview with reporter Nick Dye, Gary talked about how the tournament got started.
We started off as a 5-man field, building the golf course out in the bush, and we gradually got bigger and bigger, and now to have a European tour event at Sun City, everybody's excited, Sun International, I am, having been there since day one, and to see a field of 150 players, the best players in the world, is so exciting. It's going to help our golf. You know, we've got a lot of young people playing golf in South Africa, and we've won a lot of major championships, and it's due to the fact that we have good youth programs. And now to have a Rory and possibly a Jordan Spieth and a Jason Day, whoever they are, it's just going to give our golf a big boost, and we're very, very excited. We're very grateful to the European Tour. What the European Tour has done is remarkable, playing these events around the world, finding the true world champion.
And you have been involved in the championship since its inception. So how, as the host of this championship, will you feel your involvement this time around?
Very exciting for me, because I was in the bush in the hot sun starting the golf course, and I suggested to Sol Kersner at that stage, he wanted to have the biggest golf tournament in the world, which it was $1 million. Then later on they went and played, and the first prize was $1 million, and of course then it was surpassed by a lot of events. But it's a golf course that has stood the test of time for a long time. It's Sun City's probably the best resort in the planet today. So for their guests, their parents and friends, game reserves, crocodile parks, all kinds of things, casinos, anything you want, they've got. So they're in for a great time.
Do you feel that the state of professional golf is good when you find that there are big tournaments in China, in Turkey for the final series, as well as South Africa and elsewhere around the world?
Very much so, and I take my hat off to the European Tour for the wonderful job that they've done. I just love golf. I've been a professional golfer for 63 years. I've travelled more miles than any human being ever. Love the game. I'm very thankful for what golf has done for me. So when I see these tournaments all over the world, and I see a country, for example, like Korea with their ladies beating the American lady golfers, it just shows you what can be done if you've got it. Lee Kuan Yew, who I think is the greatest political leader that ever lived. There are different leaders during the war, like Winston Churchill, but political leader. His book, I just read it recently, and he said you have to incentivize people. And so this is what's being done in the smaller countries now. With this great dream of playing in a tournament and winning $1 million, that's incentivizing them.
Are you incentivizing by adding a few more miles by going down the Sheikh Zayed Road from Dubai to Abu Dhabi for the challenge at the Sadiat?
Well, I'm looking forward to being at Sadiat, particularly the golf course I designed there, the Sadiat Beach. The Abu Dhabi Sports Council have been fantastic. They realize the value for tourism, having a tournament like this. And obviously charity is the big theme, and we've changed the lives. We've raised a lot of money with our charitable events all around the world. We've changed the lives of a lot of people that needed help, and I was one of those people that needed help when I was growing up, because I had a very tough time.
That South African golf star Gary Player, and Gary was talking with reporter Nick Dye in Dubai, United Arab Emirates. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you as always.
Good to have you back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Tuesday?
Well, Cardale Jones, he was a quarterback for the Ohio State University football team, and he's about to enter the National Football League draft later this month. But before he did, he went on kind of a Twitter rant against the NCAA, which oversees all college athletics, saying that he's happy to be done with them. He feels like the athletes are exploited. Mm. They control the athletes' lives with what he says are insane and unfair rules. Athletes aren't paid, but the NCAA is making money off of their names on jerseys and their likeness. So
millions of dollars.
Absolutely. So he kind of went on this Twitter rant against all of these issues. Now, these are things that people have talked about before in social media, particularly the issue of players not getting paid and the NCAA making all this money. But he's kind of crystallized this in a series of tweets. And he's, you know, Ohio State University quarterback is a huge title to have. He's poised to enter the NFL and be a football star. So it's big news that he's speaking out against this.
What have some of his fans, how have they responded on Twitter to his comments?
Well, somebody tweeted out and said he's not even talking about the coaches' salaries, the coaches that get to fly on the private jets and all those kind of things. So that's a whole other element. Some of these coaches are making $5, $6, $7 million a year, if not more, for the really highly successful coaches. And this isn't just in football. It's in football, basketball, other sports. So these coaches are making multi-million dollars per year. And the players aren't getting paid. So people are questioning that too, saying he didn't even touch on that issue. And that's a whole other topic that people are concerned about. Someone else tweeted out, they said, maybe you should have waited until after the NFL draft to speak out about this. The NFL draft is happening April 28th through the 30th. So maybe you should have waited a couple weeks till after you were drafted before you started doing this, hoping it won't be a distraction or teams won't say, well, he's speaking out against them. We don't want to have that kind of distraction on our team.
Interesting topic, Andrew. I mean, we have the NBA draft coming up, I think, in June, and a lot of these top collegiate players, maybe 1 or 2 years they play at the university level, and then they go to the pros. So you wonder, how can the universities retain their abilities?
And that's one of the things people are pointing out on social media, too. They say, if you want kids to stay in college for 4 years as these athletes, you have to incentivize that, because otherwise they're going to stay for a year, maybe two, and then go to the NBA or the NFL or any of these other professional leagues where they can make a lot of money.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a feature article on Golden State Warriors star Stephen Curry, the NBA's leading scorer. Steph is getting ready for the playoffs, and also a record-breaking attempt by the Warriors. But check out that article. It was written by Sally Jenkins in the Washington Post, and she did a really nice job of talking about Steph Curry's private life and what he does to maintain balance between his basketball career and his family life. Steph Curry on the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, Steph Curry, for one. It's not just Steph Curry, but the Golden State Warriors, of course. They're going for that record 73 wins. And Jamel Hill, a sports journalist, she posted this question on Twitter. She said, you get a free courtside seat to Kobe's final game or the Warriors going for 73 wins. Which do you go for?
Now, tough one. That's a
tough one. People are focused on this Golden State Warriors team and the record that they are hopefully poised to break, hopefully for them. But they're forgetting that Kobe Bryant, one of the greatest basketball players of his generation, arguably one of the greatest ever, is having his last game ever this same time as this Golden State Warriors game. They're airing at the exact same time. One, obviously, in L.A. for the Lakers. They're playing at home. In Oakland for Golden State, they're playing at home. So you can't be in two places at once.
So you have to maybe record one of those games.
Well, that was, you know, Joshua Dixon said, I'd have to be courtside watching Kobe while streaming the Warriors. So, and that was something we talked about, you know, when, you know, people watching Golden State while they were at, or the NCAA tournament, what have you, while they were at opening day baseball. So you can kind of, now with technology and everybody has a smartphone, you can kind of have the best of both worlds. But a lot of mixed opinions on this, people saying, Golden State, we got to be there because this is a record. Who knows when another team will get close? It took 20 years for Golden State to meet the record set by the 95-96 Chicago Bulls. Other people saying Kobe's never going to play again. This is the last chance to see him. So it depends, I think, on who you're a fan of. A lot of people pointing out that the Lakers have a pretty poor record this year. They're 16-55. So even if you go see Kobe play his last game, you're likely to see a loss. Whereas if you go see Golden State and they win, it's going to be a big celebration.
Kobe Bryant, definitely one of the greatest and perhaps most controversial players in NBA history. And maybe later in the week, Andrew, ahead of the playoffs, we can talk about maybe who's popular in the NBA in terms of social media.
Absolutely. One thing is for certain, that even though Kobe won't be playing anymore after Wednesday, he will still be a force on social media. In fact, one of the things we'll talk about, one of the top players that's on social media, Shaquille O'Neal, who hasn't played in a good number of years, but he still has a ton of followers on social media.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the April 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer John Dryden, and thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
As conflicts end and as occupation forces are pushed out of territories they once controlled, they leave in their wake towns and fields contaminated with landmines and unexploded ordnance. Every year, these remnants of war kill and maim thousands of civilians. Just a few years ago, landmines and stray explosives killed nearly 10,000 men, women, and children every year. Thanks to an international demining effort, by 2014, the casualties dropped to 3,678. But that's still nearly 4,000 victims too many. Still, money grows tight all over the world, and international donations for this worthwhile effort have been declining. This funding decrease, for example, has severely affected the Angolan's ability to make up the shortfall in demining support from its oil revenues, wrote Undersecretary of State for Arms Control and International Security Rose Gottmuller in a recent blog post. Unless we reinvigorate international donor support, Angola could remain impacted by mines and unexploded ordnance well past 2040. We can save countless lives and limbs if we can move the deadline closer by 10, even 15 years. The United States is a leader in the international demining effort and the single largest financial supporter of conventional weapons destruction programs in the world. Since 1992, we have provided more than $2.5 billion in assistance in more than 90 countries for conventional weapons destruction programs. These funds provide the expertise and equipment to safely clear landmines and other unexploded ordnance, support programs which assist landmine accident survivors, and destroy excess weapons and ammunition. Unless people can rebuild their communities and their fields and safely transport goods to markets, development and reconstruction may falter. When we invest in mine action and conventional weapons destruction, we not only protect civilians from explosive remnants of war, but we also enable lasting peace, wrote Undersecretary Gottmuller. The United States pledges to continue to do its part in this effort, and we urge governments, civil society, and the private sector to increase their funding for this essential effort. Together, wrote Undersecretary Gottmuller, we have made so much progress, and together we can more rapidly reach the goal of enabling all to walk the earth in safety.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.
Hello, I'm Linor Mudu. Please join me live every Tuesday at 17:30 UTC in VOA's health program, Health Chat. Hear from doctors, nurses, international experts discussing the health issues of your concern. Health Chat puts listeners directly in touch with medical professionals. You can talk to them live for free or email your questions. Health Chat brings the medical professionals to your home.
Next time on Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the International Criminal Court and African leaders, as well as ICC's ruling on Kenya's Deputy President William Ruto. Tune in to Straight Talk Africa next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.